Here in the fourth verse of Revelation 21, it says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Back in chapter 7 of Revelation, verse 17, it says, For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. We live in a world that's so noisy. There's a constant crescendo of disturbances almost everywhere in our nation. This campground I've been to for the last few days, it was so pleasant to just hear silence. Absolute silence. But it's true that this world is anointed with teardrops. People weep over their losses, financial losses, relationship losses, losses of position. They weep over physical pain. I know that some of you know about that. There have been times in your life when you have been moved to tears by the pain that you have felt. Tears over stress and various annoyances. I think the most frustrating thing in the world as a human being is to be in a situation and you don't know what to do. You know you don't have the answer to the questions, and you don't have the solution for the problems, and you just don't know anybody else that does either. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day when there'll be no more tears. I tell you, as I prepared for this message, while I was gone and since I got back, I sat and thought about that one day for half a day. No tears. A place where they're absent. That's God's kingdom. You know, heaven is a city where tears are never seen. You never see tears. I was driving back from Michigan, and the fellow who was sitting beside me, he lost his wife in March, and he and I were talking about some of our experiences and the things we went through, and he's 67 years old, and God just called him to preach a couple of weeks ago. And we did some crying. I'm telling you, there's some tears that we shed together about various situations and people we knew. But in heaven, tears have never been seen. They've never been experienced. Heaven is a city of joy. Infinite joy. It's a city of spiritual blessings. A place where God's goodness is demonstrated in His love and His care for His redeemed children. And I want to bring you a message tonight, if the Lord will help me, that I have entitled, Dry Eyes in Heaven. First of all, let me say that salvation involves everything from earth to glory. Everything. Everything is necessary to deliver us from the fall into sin. When Adam fell, it was a great fall. And he took us with him. He was our federal head. That term may not mean much to you, but it literally means somebody that's responsible for other people. The President of the United States is by definition the federal head of our country. When he does stupid things or wrong things, it affects you. There's no aspect, however, of God's deliverance that depends on the actions of flesh. We're not dependent on Adam. We're not dependent on the president. We're not dependent on ourselves. It's all God's work. There's no portion of God's package of salvation that requires flesh to even move its finger. Paul said, you hath he quickened. That word quickened means to be made alive. You hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, he wasn't out in the graveyard preaching to a bunch of coffins. He was speaking to the saints of God in the church at Ephesus. And it's true for the saints of God in the church in Harrodsburg, that we were dead in trespasses and sins, and he came and gave us life. There's nothing on either side of eternity that is in fact determined by mortal conduct. We worry all the time, I do and you do, and I know you do, because you're just like me, about what somebody else is going to do, or what we're going to do, or a situation's going to do, or natural circumstances are going to do. It has nothing to do with God's salvation. God does it. God's election of his saints was an exercise of pure, free grace. That's all it is. It's not based on anything you do, anything you are, anything you were, or anything you'll become. Predestination is always to his praise, always to his honor, and always to his glory. And you must remember that. Redemption secured for us perfect forgiveness forever. When Christ redeemed his people, when he said on the cross, it is finished, and it was finished, he had redeemed them forever. Now, they weren't saved yet, but they were redeemed. We experience the new birth exclusively, and I mean exclusively, by God's grace. Not a matter of who you are, where you are, what you are, or anything else. It's just God at work. We're sanctified entirely by free grace. Set apart. Set apart from the world. Set apart from the circumstances of flesh. Set apart from the ways of humanity. Set apart. And we will stand before God someday as inheritors of a divine benevolence. Jesus said, we're his heirs. We're heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ. Now, when God declares that time will be no more, it'll be no more. He will make all things to be fresh and new. I don't know about you, I like new things. Every once in a while I get something new, you know. I try a new recipe, it's good. Well, some of them are. Y'all know about that. Maybe you get I got a new chair. I like my new chair. It's wonderful. While I was going to Michigan, a bad thing happened at my house. My little girl learned how to jump up in the chair. She kept trying and trying and falling and falling. She finally got there. Now she's got it mastered, so I don't have a chair anymore. But it was nice for a while. The Lord Jesus Christ will present us before the glory of God and bring us into his presence in the fullness of his majesty. We're his children. The glorious Father will put a cornerstone in place of permanent existence. Zechariah 4:6 says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Someday God's going to do that. He's going to do that. The next thing that I think we need to see about this text is that the processes of grace will remove all tears. Most of my life, I've been a hard man. I didn't know how to cry. I didn't. I was taught from the time I was a child, don't cry. Men don't cry. I had to deal with that. I don't remember ever seeing my father cry in my life. And I never could cry until after the Lord saved me. He's taught me a lot about crying since then. But grace is going to take away all my tears. Salvation is assured to be great and to be gracious from its beginning to its end. All who are heirs of grace will be equally and perfectly possessed of it. We talked about last week, no difference in the status of people in heaven. There'll be no tears. Nobody. God's salvation is thorough, and it's complete, and it's full. And when it's finished, there'll be no regrets, and no sadness, and no tears in eternity. No reason to. This is plain. It's clearly revealed in God's scriptural revelation, the Holy Bible. No tears. God will wipe away all tears. I want you to notice there's two texts I want to read to you, and you can turn to them if you want to. Well, you got one of them in front of you. But there's a very slight difference between those two texts that's important. In Isaiah 25, verse 8, it says, "He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it." Now it says there that the Lord God will wipe away tears. But in Revelation 21:4 it says, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." My children were small. I used to tell them, if they were crying, "Boys, one of three things is going to happen. You're either going to stop crying, you're going to tell me why you're crying, or I'm going to give you a reason to cry." And one of those three things always happened. But sometimes they'd stop crying and then they'd start again. God says here in this glorious passage of Scripture that he'll wipe away all our tears. And they're never seen again. Isaiah says that God wipes tears off all faces, and he does. All human beings in this world have reasons to weep at one time or another, and God dries their tears. They're hungry, and he fills them. They're thirsty, and he waters them. They're disturbed, and he gives them peace. They're distressed, and he gives them hope. But more troubles come. But there's a place where there's no trouble. No trouble at all. These two scriptures combined give us a glorious promise of God to every believer. He's going to wipe away all your tears. When God is finished, all evil consequences of sin are going to be gone. I've thought about that today, most of the day. All the things that make us weep, all the things that make us cry, all the things that bring tears to our eyes are gone. They're gone. Never, ever again will a tear stream from an exalted eye. Never. You know, our minds, our mortal minds, just can't hardly comprehend that blessed truth. We say we can, but we stop and think about it, and boy, I tell you, it's hard to imagine. God's going to take all sin out of us. Now, he's taken it away legally in Christ already, but he's going to take it away in our practice. He's going to take it away in our thoughts. He's going to take it away in our hearts. He's going to take away all causes of grief. Why do you grieve? There's not a person sitting in this building tonight that I don't know enough about you to know that there have been times in your life when you've grieved. I look across this audience and I see people, you've lost mothers, you've lost fathers, you've lost children, you've lost husbands or wives, you've lost friends, you lost companions, and it caused you to grieve. Some of you have had sickness. Sickness that you just couldn't imagine. Carol probably would like me to forget this. But I remember once going to the hospital to visit Carol, and I went in a room and I thought I was in the wrong room. She had cellulitis and her head was so big it didn't even look like her. Vicky hadn't been there, I wouldn't have known it. I'd have gone on. That'll never happen in heaven. Never. I have myself felt pain so strongly that it brought tears to my eyes. I've laid in the bed many a night and wept at the pain I was going through. That'll never happen again. Every desire of our hearts will be purified and be gratified. We want things sometimes we don't need. We want things that are harmful to us. You're older. Why, some of you are 30 and 40 years old now. Maybe even more. We're not children anymore. Children always want something, even if it's not good for them. And they cry because they can't have it. And we who are 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70, we still sometimes want things that are not good for us. Sometimes God keeps us from getting it and we cry. Sometimes God gives it to us and we cry. There's coming a time we'll never have that happen again. Every desire will be purified. Never again will we have the slightest tinge of sorrow for any reason. My wife was a tender-hearted woman. She loved little children. She worked with them for so many years in the school. She'd come home. Some days she'd come home and she'd just be down. And I'd say, "What's wrong, honey?" And she'd tell me about a little girl or a little boy that came to school and were hungry. Or they had holes in their clothes and holes in their shoes. And she just felt so badly for them. She'd cry about it. There won't be any of that in heaven. You won't think about it. You won't mourn over it. You won't grieve over it. There's also an implication from this text. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. There's a lot of reasons to weep on our way to God's glorious heaven. Faith in Christ delivers us from all condemnation and all curses. No matter what anybody says to me or about me, to you or to anyone else, it doesn't make any difference. The Lord Jesus Christ saved me, and in God's eyes, I'm just like His Son. That's all that matters to me. I want to be righteous. I want to be as perfect as I can be in my life. I want to be honoring to God and glorifying to Christ. But I fail, and I fail often, but Christ never fails. And believers in this flesh suffer just like unbelievers do. That hospital up there is full of people that are sick. Some of them are believers. Some of them aren't. There's no difference. We have physical sickness and pain. About the only thing most of us have got in common here, probably everybody here just about has got arthritis. Those of you that don't have it, have got it, and don't know it yet. But I tell you, you will find out. We have domestic troubles and heartaches. Sometimes it's disagreements. Sometimes it's a loss of a loved one. Sometimes it's a difficulty meeting each other's needs and desires. Sometimes it's financial losses. Folks make money, folks lose money. Sometimes it's bereavement. I saw there were several deaths in the community while I was gone. And there are many other curses that fall on humanity in our carnal state and afflict us. And they bring tears to our eyes and sorrow to our hearts. We shed tears over things that are unknown to the carnal world. The world doesn't know about a lot of things that we know about. There's a warfare in our soul between the flesh and the spirit. I used to know an old man. He was a friend of Kent Clark's, and his name was Charlie. He was an Indian. He lived down in western Kentucky, down close to Paris Springs. Charlie used to always talk about two dogs. He said when the Lord saved him, there was two dogs inside him, a black dog and a white dog, and they were always in a fight. And every time I'd see him, I'd say, Charlie, which dog's winning? He said, well, the white one's winning, but it's a struggle. The world doesn't know anything about that. Our struggles with sin, with unbelief, with the hardness of our hearts, with the love we have of ourself, the world doesn't know anything about that. It's natural for them. We sorrow day and night because we lack consecration to God. I tell you, I do a lot of praying for myself. Just, God, just clean me up. Just work on me. There are also precious tears that God's going to dry on eternity's shore. We have anguish in our souls over the eternal destiny of sinners. There's not a person here. I'm pretty sure I'm confident in this. There's not a single person sitting here in this building tonight that doesn't have a friend, a family member, a neighbor, or somebody that you know is not saved. And it breaks your heart. It breaks your heart. It's hard for us to deal with that. It's hard for us to deal with it in life. It's harder to deal with it in death. There are tears that we feel of sympathy. There are tears of concern. They're tears of repentance for our souls and the souls of others. But once we're delivered from this world, all tears are dried forever. I know there are people, and maybe you're one of them, I hope not, but maybe you are, that sit around and they think everybody in heaven is sitting around up there on a kneeling bench constantly watching us and crying over us and slobbering and snotting over us. But I'm telling you what, they're not concerned with this world. And you won't be either. You won't be either. There's a present comfort that we have to hope for the removal of our tears. Hold your finger there, and I want you to turn back to Isaiah chapter 43. I want you to read with me verses 1 through 6. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. And I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. That's a blessed passage of Scripture. Our Father is drying our tears even in this present time. Even in our days, He dries our eyes. We don't live some dark, sorrowful existence here. I've been reading the life of one of the Puritans, and I thought to myself, I was reading the other day, I thought, man, all these people think the Puritans were so miserable and they lived such dark and dreaded lives and just drug around. Well, they'll read this guy's life. This man was filled with the presence of Christ and filled with the glory of God, and he lived every day, lived a hard life. He had a difficult time, had a hard time, making enough money to feed his family and take care of things. But he was God's man, and he was blessed of God. We have present sorrows. Y'all do. Buddy's building a new house. I'm glad he's building it, not me. I'd worry myself to death. He handles it better than most people, but if the truth is known, he's had a moment or two of doubts and concerns somewhere along the road there. But we also have great comfort. The Lord of glory, who sits on the throne of heaven, is our comforter. Our Father gives us submission to his holy will and his holy purpose. We don't fork that up. We don't dream that up. We don't drag that out of us. He gives it to us. He teaches us to trust and to rest in his providence. He reminds us of his gracious promise and his gracious purpose. He tells us there in Romans 8, how blessed we are. He blesses us with a sense of his presence. He's with us. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be. And where he is, his promises are. Some of you remember Mr. Al, who was a member of our church a long time ago. He used to always walk around. He had a pocket full of candy. And little children who knew Mr. Al, they would run up to him. He always had a piece of candy for them. His pastor used to run up to him. He always had a piece of candy for me. God's got pockets full of promises to give us. He overflows our hearts with a consciousness of his great love. Ephesians 3:19 says, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I used to love to tell my wife I loved her. But I have to be honest with you, I liked it even more when she'd tell me she loved me. I'd say, why don't you tell me you love me? And she says, because you know I love you. I said, I know you do, but I like you to say it. God tells us that the cause of our pain sometimes is his own loving hand. God judges his children. He told us in Hebrews chapter 12 that if I don't judge you, I don't correct you, then you're bastards. God makes his children mine. He teaches them lessons they need to learn. And he comforts us by fixing our hearts on not this world, but on those blessed things that are above us. In Colossians 3, Paul wrote this, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Wow. And then lastly, we have a glorious prospect of this eternal eye clearing. My female bulldog has wet eyes. That's a common thing with bulldogs. My male doesn't have. He got great big old eyes, big old round eyes, and they're clear as a bell. But she has wet eyes all the time. I have to dry her eyes out two or three times a day. And there's a lot of people that live in this world that have wet eyes. God's going to dry them. He's going to dry them. In heaven, God will wipe every single tear from your eyes. Just imagine it. There's coming a time when you'll never weep again. I don't know if you all know this or not, but Carol has a boyfriend. Her little grandson, Aiden, she just worships the ground he walks on. And I bet that Carol has shed a tear or two over Aiden on occasion. If she hasn't, she will. But there's coming a time when none of us will ever weep again. You say, but if you're in heaven and you see all this stuff going on down here in this world, I'm telling you, people in heaven don't pay any attention to this world. They got some consciousness of it. They don't pay attention to it. We must rejoice that there's coming a time when we have no reason to weep. I knew a fellow one time, little old Nicholsville. He was a young guy, he was in his early 30s. He was quite wealthy. I asked him one time, I said, "Roy, how much money do you want?" He thought for a minute, kind of grinned. He said, "Just a little bit more." Most people, no matter how much money they got, they want a little bit more. No matter what they got in their checkbook, if it's $100,000, they want a little bit more. This fellow was telling me, going to Michigan, that Bill Gates bought that onion place down there and those contracts for $7.9 billion. Now, I like onions, but I don't think I like them that much. But Bill Gates is a businessman. He'll make money out of it some way. He'll figure out a way to make money out of that. Heaven has joy with no sorrow. It has laughter with no tears. It has pleasantness without any pain. You know what I like about that? Wow. That's just glorious. There'll never be any regrets in heaven. I'll confess to you, there have been times when I've just thought, boy, why did I do what I did? Why didn't I do something else? Why didn't I do more? Why didn't I do less? Why didn't I do something different? I'll never have another regret. And neither will you. There'll be no remorse. There'll be no lost causes. There'll be no sorrows of any kind in that place. You know, heaven would be filled with tears if God didn't wipe them away. Those are the most tender-hearted people in the world. They're the most godly people in the world. All their sins are gone. This old carnal body that held them back, they're delivered from that. They would be the most compassionate people in the world, but God has dried their tears. We would weep over our sins. We would weep over our unconverted. We would weep over wasted opportunities. We would anguish over the price of our redemption. You ever do that? I think about Christ dying for me, and I'm like, why? Why would you do that? We would weep over our unkind responses. But Christ has done for us everything that needed to be done. Heaven will have no more death to pierce loving hearts and souls. I go on a trip and I come back, and the first thing I do is open up all the old newspapers to see who died while I was gone. There's no obituary columns in heaven. I don't know if it's in newspapers or not. I don't know why they'd need one, but there's no obituary columns. Nobody dies. Funeral directors are all gone out of business. Cemeteries are all closed up. There's no more sorrow found there. There's no more crying for any reason, whatever it is, whether it's personal or just, I tell you what, the world around us is so sinful, sometimes I just read the newspaper and I cry. Won't do that there. Former things are passed away. God makes all things new. God will in eternity remove us from all sin and all evil. He first of all will remove all the wicked consequences of life. You know, they're troubles. A fellow I knew several years ago, that business was doing real well, and his business was doing so well he forgot to pay his taxes for about 7 or 8 years. The IRS called him, and it made him weep. They make you weep. God will remove all causes of grief. Every heart's desire is going to be satisfied. Can you imagine that? A world where everything you want comes to you? You think about that one. That's difficult. We'll be with Christ. We'll be like Christ. We will love and serve and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll be our everlasting experience without interruption forever. Old Thomas Kelly wrote this hymn. I'll quote part of it to you. He says, "Weep no more, ye saints. Why should you? If you do for others weep, would you ask for more or could you? Will not God his promise keep? Life eternal Jesus gives, and you shall live because he lives. Weep no more, you saints, but gladly look to that approaching day. Saints should not complain or sadly think of ills that pass away. Hark, the final trumpet sounds. Grief has vanished, and joy abounds." What a glorious life it will be. In a place of no tears, no sorrows, no burdens. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is ultimate hope. Ultimate hope for all the saints of grace. Let this be our cushion of hope as we deal with the trials and troubles of our life in this weary world of sadness and sorrow. I stand here sometimes and I watch folks come in the building and I wonder, oh God, will you resolve their trials? I watch Sister Phillips. Sister Harlow come in the other day on her walker. Barely can walk, even with a walker, without help. One day God's going to take that away. I see Mr. Q with sadness on his face. I'm not used to seeing that. One day God's going to take that away. Someday you're going to die. Somebody will cry over you. There may even be hope for me. I don't know. Not sure, but there might be. But God will wipe away all tears. Dry eyes in heaven. Amen.